Stay, because we'll have you pray for people. Okay? I just want to continue to make the declaration that we are under a reign of peace here. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So that is our declaration here at ATR. If you are under our government, then you can step into a reign of peace. And it's yours for the taking. I'm doing a series on sonship, and this is for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, and they are coming on the scene. All right. A couple of weeks ago, I started talking about destiny scrolls, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit because I want to keep it right in our forefront of our thinking, Matthew's very clear that the seeds can be taken and devoured, and no fruit will ever come. And so how we maintain the seed in our heart so it can come to fruition is that we consistently and consciously engage with things. And so we're gonna talk just a little bit about destiny scrolls, and then we're going to get into that we're not alone in our journey, and we're going to begin talking about some heavenly beings so that they can begin to manifest around us. Psalm 47 is a prophetic word about Yeshua. It said, "Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." And the fulfillment is in Hebrews 10:7. "Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." And so what that's talking about is the destiny scroll of Yeshua was he fulfilled all of that. He did the will of the Father. And that's what was written on his destiny scroll. We all have a destiny scroll. Now, how do you know what's on your destiny scroll if you've never seen it, read it, or eaten it? Okay? How many of you have seen, read, or eaten your destiny scroll? Okay. Or heard, or, yeah, however it came to you. All right, so I'm going to give you a few little clues for you to know what's on your destiny scroll so that you can begin to enter into those things so that it can manifest. One of them is, when someone begins talking about something that deals with the heavenly realm or in the kingdom of God, and a spark goes off inside of you, that's probably your something on your destiny scroll getting awakened. Okay? Now, I can remember I went to a fundamental Baptist college, and you know how you take all those gift tests? Well, mine all came back high-level prophetic. Unfortunately, in those circles, prophetic meant preacher, and because I was a girl, I was disqualified. So I had a lot of internal conflict about that. Because every test, I maxed it out on the prophetic. And then I happened to engage. My next kind of step was I got around these charismatic people who believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was another challenging thing because I had done my senior thesis on the evils of the charismatic movement. But I got around this person, and she had so much faith. She had, just would see miracle after miracle after miracle. So it really began challenging my belief system. And in that place, I ran across a prophet. Now, you talk about sparks igniting inside of me. I thought I was going to explode when this guy would talk. And it just baffled me. I'm like, he's just a guy. But when I would get around him, I could breathe. It was like I could breathe a different kind of air. It was like, wow, the air's light around him. And so that put me on this journey that led me into all sorts of relationships with probably every prophetically known person in the country at the time. Because something exploded in me, and I got on it like a dog gets on a bone. I would not let it go. I invested my time, I invested my energy, I invested my money. I went to every conference there was to go to. And I invested in my destiny. And was around people that, you know, I could say all the names, and you'd know them all. But God put me among the people who I was. Put me right smack in the middle of them. Because most of the prophetic is caught, not taught. Okay? It's just caught in the spirit. And so that's how I knew what was on my destiny scroll before there was any kind. No one was talking. I think Sean Bowles was talking a little bit about destiny scrolls. John Paul talked a little bit about them. But it wasn't majorly emphasized the way that it's kind of is right now. Okay? And so, but I knew when I got around prophetic people, I exploded. Okay? So I knew that was part of who I was and what I was called to do. Okay? So apply that into your life. The people you're around, okay, they're going to ignite something in you. Okay? Now, if the people you're around aren't igniting anything in you, I would get new friends. Okay? Just how it is. You want to grow and fulfill your destiny? You better get in the company of the people you're called to be. Okay? That's very helpful. Okay? And so, after I was around all the prophetic people, then that opened doors into being around revelatory people, and then that continued to open because I wouldn't let it go. I pressed into it. I put in the time and the effort and the money. Okay? So your destiny is freely given to you, but it is not cheap. Okay? It's not cheap. You're just not going to sit in your chair and walk into your destiny. Okay? Because you have an adversary who wants to prevent you from ever tapping into who you really are. Okay? Now, it's God's will is a delight for us. It is not a heavy burden. Okay? Now, when I remember being in the Southern Baptist circles, and they would talk about God's will and surrender to God's will. And, you know, everybody was like, oh, I don't want to do that because he might send me to Africa. And I thought, oh, God, oh, well, I'll go to Africa. I'll surrender. But everyone had a perception that God's will was a heavy burden. And it would be something they really didn't want to do. And that's really not how it is. When he fashioned and formed us, he uniquely interwove our destiny within us so that when we engage with it, it brings us to life. It brings life, not death or a heavy yoke. Because everything about God is life, love, and freedom, and he is a very, very good father. Okay, now to grow in your destiny, you have to be willing to invest in your destiny. Okay? Talked about that a little bit. Your time, your effort, and your money. Now, how many hours, and I'm just using John Paul, he was known as the dream interpreter guru. Okay? Known all over the world, started all kinds of dream interpretation schools. How many hours do you think he invested in that? I'm going well over a few million. Okay? Now, what if your destiny is to do something similar to that? What if he's giving you, and on your scroll there is a creative idea that will radically change an entire industry out there? That could change education the way we know it. That could change technology. That can change the medical world. But because we won't invest, it won't come to fruition. Okay, now I'm not talking about a heavy yoke or a burden, but I am saying there's a skill that we have to often develop. Do you think, how many hours has Virginia put into playing the keyboard? Okay, I only know maybe one or two people that got saved and got an anointing where they got behind a keyboard and started playing. I think I know of two that did that. Okay, that was on her destiny scroll, but she had to choose, as she was made to as a child, to take piano lessons. Okay? But then there was a change in her heart where it became her passion. And then she got a prophetic word, because at one point all she did was play piano. And that was it. There was no drums, there was no nothing, and she got a perfect, that was bad. You couldn't have that in the circles that we were in. And all of a sudden, she got a prophetic word. Her first prophetic word was, you will play in bands, big bands, all over the world. Okay? Paradigm shift. Okay, she had to have a heart that would receive that, because it was very different than what she had been told. The same as I had to shift my thinking and go, I can embrace the prophetic. All of my religious upbringing said no, no, no. And I had to make a choice. Was I going to be faithful to be who I knew I was? Or was I going to stay in a mold that a man was trying to fashion me into? So sometimes you got to go against the grain and go against your religious mindsets. Revelation 12, 11 and 12. We quote this quite frequently. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, and the word that is logos of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. First of all, there's three things there, but the word of our testimony is what's written on our scroll. Okay? It's not if you paid your bill on time and you get up and say, pray, I want to praise the Lord, I paid my bill on time. Okay? That's not the word. That is a testimony, but that's not the word of your testimony. Okay? Your destiny scroll is how you overcome. Okay? The word testimony is a judicial term. It means the evidence that has been given in a court. Is what that word means. Okay? If you have questions about the courtroom, there's something for you right there. Okay, now we keep talking about this, about spiritual maturation. Okay, when you get born again, you're a baby in Christ, right? Now what, this is where we talk, okay? Because you should be able to respond at this point. We've gone over this a bunch of times. What is the primary purpose and goal for a baby in Christ? Drink the milk of the word, right? Okay, and we've talked about how the milk of the word is the goodness of God towards us. Okay, so as we drink the milk, we begin to develop into a young child. Now, do you remember what a young child, what their basically objective is in that stage of development? Do you remember? Your sins are forgiven, and know your father. Okay? Now, if this foundation right here is formed in us, how will that help us to overcome? Will it help us to overcome? Because the young men stage is overcome your adversary, remember? Okay? So if you don't have the foundation of being a baby in Christ and a young child, if you don't have that correct foundation, you'll never overcome. Because once you know your sins are forgiven, you don't have to deal with condemnation, shame, fear, all the things that most Christians struggle on an ongoing daily thing. Okay? So if you're struggling with shame, fear, condemnation, any of those things, what do you need to do? Do you need to pray more? Do you need to work harder? Do you need to memorize scripture? Okay, what do you need to do? Go right back here and drink some milk. Go back and drink some milk. Begin to truly get into your cellular makeup, into the very core of your being, that God is good, that He has forgiven you, that He has a heart for you to be successful and to succeed. And you stay there until that is firmly rooted in you. Okay? If you do that, the chances of being a young man and overcoming are going to be relatively much easier than what we struggle with now. Okay? Most of us have been taught warfare from a position of separation rather than inclusion and oneness with God. Okay? That makes all the difference. Okay? If in your being you're still trying to get to God, okay? You're coming from a place of separation. Okay? So I would encourage you to go back here. Okay? So as we're moving on, now maturity again is not about time that you've been a believer. It has nothing to do with time. The same as sonship is not about gender. Okay? So don't get hung up on, well, I've been saved 22 years. Whoopee. Okay, good. Yay. That's about all I got for you. Okay? Gotta pause. Road is dry. Okay. Now, we're about right now, we're all in a process of shifting our perception. Okay? And again, we're going to talk about a couple of laws. The world calls them the law of attraction. Christians call them kind of sowing and reaping. Okay? But basically, the law states is what we focus on grows. Okay? So whatever you've thought about today in your world, okay, we're just going to bring it real right to home. What were you thinking about today? Thinking about bills you got to pay? Thinking about all the craziness going on in your world? Guess what grew in your life? Okay? But if you're engaging like Wendy has been, man, I've been thinking about these things. Wow, the Holy Spirit is in my body, in my cells. What? So guess what continues to grow? That reality and that manifestation around her. Okay? Now what we think and talk about will manifest around us. Okay? If you talk about demons all the time, guess what will manifest around you all the time? Demons. Okay? It's These are easy. If we live by these laws, you want angels to hang out? I do. I like angels. I like when they come to help me and assist me. It makes life easier. So I want to talk about them. Okay? And nobody's talking about worshiping them, so don't even go there. If you go there, then you need deliverance. Okay, and that deals with the power of our thoughts and our words. Philippians 2, 5 and 7 encourages us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, check this out. Okay? Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Okay, you say that right there, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself. You say that in some circles, and they're going to brand you a heretic. Okay, now I'll be real clear. We're G's with a little God. We're gods with little G's. Okay, and I don't know if I think I get to Psalm 82, where it really gets in there and starts talking about that. But we got to know who we are, okay? Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you've got to be transformed in your thinking, in the renewing of your mind, so that you can live out your destiny scroll. Okay, we're changing a perspective from being a victim to an overcomer, from an overcomer to a king, from a servant to a son, okay? We're sons who serve, but we're not servants, okay? Big difference. From earth to heaven, from the natural to the spirit, from the law to grace, from death to life, from a religious system to the kingdom. And we need eyes to see and ears to hear. If you need a prayer, that should be your prayer right there. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear. Okay, now we hear this concept all the time, precept upon precept, right? Okay, now this building precept upon precept doesn't mean we necessarily do away with something, but we continue to build upon it, okay? Like right now, there's a lot of discussion going on about the church having the, what are those five things? The fivefold ministry, yeah, that. Is the fivefold ministry over now that we're in the kingdom? There's a lot of discussion going on about that. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what I think. But I do know that things are built upon rather than completely done away with most of the time. Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. So the church has a destiny on her. Do you know what the destiny is? To raise up sons. Okay? Has she done that yet? No. Okay, so I don't know that it's going to be done away with yet. Not saying it won't function differently, because how it's working now isn't really working, but that doesn't mean it's wrong and going to be done away with yet. Okay? Just my thought. You can have yours and think about it. Okay, now some things we are going to have to just let go of. Okay? We're just going to have to let go of some things. Okay? Just because it worked 5 years ago may not be what's going to work now. Okay? Because in 5 years, we should have grown up and progressed a little bit. Okay? Now, an example of this is, how many of y'all have heard about the courtroom of heaven? Y'all heard about that yet? Okay? Do you realize that courtroom has been in operation since Jesus died on the cross? It didn't just appear in the last 10 years. Okay? But we were babies and young children going into the courtroom quoting 1 John 1:9, if I am faithful to confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me. That's the courtroom right there. We've heard all about Jesus being our advocate. Have you heard that verse? He's our advocate. Okay, that's a courtroom term. Okay? The shift that's happening now is we're going into becoming young men and sons, and we function in the places differently. Okay? Now, little Philip, I don't expect little Philip, little Todd and Christy's little boy, I don't expect Philip to have the understanding that I expect Tyler to have. That would be unfair, wouldn't it? For him to expect, and I don't expect Tyler to have the understanding that James has. Because we can't put unrealistic expectations on people. That's not fair, and we can't grow people up if we do that. Okay? And so we just have to identify where we're at and recognize that how I did something before. Now, I was trained in a certain school of spiritual warfare. Okay? Okay, shondalai them to death. I'm going to shondalai it to death. I'm going to cast it out. I'm going to do all kinds of stuff. Okay? I was skilled at it. I could see one behind every bush. I was so skilled at it. And I was trained to deal with everything I saw. Okay? Now, that just happened to be a school I was in. But can I tell you, I don't do that, almost don't even go that way now. Now, do I believe in spiritual warfare? Absolutely. Do people that go in and shondalai and do all that stuff, are they wrong? No, it's a school. It's a school of development. I'm just not in that one anymore. Okay? And I really think there is a better way. We've done deliverance where it would last 7 hours in a night. Come out bloodied and bruised, practically. And I do think there's an easier way. Because I think as we walk in our sonship, some of that stuff changes. Now, there are a lot of things that I've changed my thoughts about over my Christian life. Okay? Now, if you believe exactly the same way you did the day you got saved as you do right now, you need to see if you've grown. Okay? Because the day you get saved, as you mature, you might see things a little bit differently. Didn't make what you believed wrong. Now, I'm dead set. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Okay? I ain't moving off that one. But a lot of others, I've kind of, whoa, let me check it out that way. Wow, I didn't see that. The same way as I resisted the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I had done a paper on the evils of the charismatic movement. Okay? For me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, guess what I had to do? Repent. I had to recognize, I think I need a change of mind about this. Okay? So if you're struggling with some of these newer things, continue to keep your heart open and explore them. Okay? We don't have to be afraid to ask questions. Okay? We're learning to see from heaven's viewpoint things we've only seen previously from a position of separation. Okay? I can remember songs we used to sing that was all about, oh God, please come visit us. Because I'm just a dirty sinner, and please come help me. Please do something. And all the songs were about that. Now, were we genuine in our heart? Yes, we were. But were we ignorant? Yeah. We didn't understand. We were co-included. We may quote a scripture, that would say we were co-included, but the reality wasn't in our heart yet because we were still longing. We'd be in a meeting and be like, well, God didn't show up tonight. I didn't feel his presence. God didn't show up. God just didn't show up. The word says where two or three are gathered, he is in their midst. Okay? Maybe I was having an off night. Okay? Before, things were always dealing with future events. Everything with heaven was a future event. When we all see Jesus, we're going to be in the sweet by and by. It was always in the future. And we were separated from him, and we usually had to do a bunch of good works to feel his presence. Okay, now that wasn't too long ago. Do y'all remember that? Do y'all remember those days? Okay. It was all about, well, I better be good so I can be in God's presence. So what we were under was the law. Okay? And we're just going to look at John 14, 2 through 4 for a minute. And the question is when I read it, think about when this verse is most often quoted or read. Okay? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, the way you know. Where is that most often quoted? Funerals. Funerals. That in Psalm 23. Almost every funeral, that's the verse we get. Okay? So guess what we've been programmed to believe? That where I am, there you may be also is connected to death. Okay? Subtle programming right there. Subtle programming. Because if that's the only time we hear that verse is at a funeral, it's just going to connect that way. Okay? But let's look at it. Okay? Who is he talking to? His disciples. What was he about to do? He was about to go to the cross and he was about to leave them, right? Okay? So he's preparing them for that. Okay? So he's basically telling them, hey guys, I'm going away. But don't worry, I'm going to come back and I'm going to receive you to myself so that where I am, you can be there too. Now read that in light of our knowledge now. Do you know what he was saying? Hey guys, I'm leaving, I'm coming back, I'm going to receive you and I'm going to open the realm of heaven to you. That's what that verse is saying. That's not a rapture verse. Do you know he did come back to them and he received them? Okay, that scripture has been fulfilled. Okay, this has been fulfilled. So he's basically saying, I've gone to prepare a place for you. Okay, do you know what that means? A place and a space in the Father's home. He did that when he went to heaven. That's why he went there, okay? And he said, there are many places to dwell, and I'm going to make a place for you, okay? And he's made a space for us in the Father's home. We're not separated any longer, okay? He tore the veil, okay? Y'all getting this? Okay? All right, now, we're not alone in our maturation process. Now, this is a quote from one of Ian's books, and it says, as an heir, I have potential to come to maturity, but I need to be trained to be brought to maturity. Okay? Maturity and fulfilling our destiny is usually a matter of being trained and equipped. Okay? Because training is involved to overcome. Okay? Again, Jesus came to be an example of us, not for us. Okay? We are as he is. We are as he is, and we are where he is. Okay? Now, is that true even if you don't experience it? Okay, yes, it is true. The same as if you don't believe in gravity and you jump off the building. Guess what? You don't fly. Okay? Growing up into our heavenly identity and our Father's will for us and what is written on our destiny scroll is what we're engaging with. Okay? Now again, what is our point of origin? Are you born of God or are you born of the fallen Adam? Okay? Because how that question gets answered determines a great deal of your perception of your world around you. Okay? All right, now the thing that we're encountering now in the Spirit is some of us have knowledge of these things, okay? Even can quote a scripture, but they're not reality yet. Okay? Now let's don't pretend they're reality when they're not yet. Okay? Reality being it's in my walk right now. Okay? Okay, it is a reality. Okay? But we continue to press and press into these things until they're manifesting in our life. Okay? So how you answer this question? Are you born of God or are you born of the first Adam? And who and what are you identifying with? Because that's what your identity becomes, is what you identify with. Okay, I can remember, oh good Lord, it would have been 20 years ago when, maybe 20 or 30, when the teaching about you're not a sinner, you're a saint came out, the grace message came out. Ooh, goodness, you wouldn't have believed what was happening. Those poor people that gave that message, coming against that religious thing that you're a sinner and you better not ever say you're not a sinner, the same as in addiction groups, you can't ever say you're not an addict anymore. You're programming yourself. Okay? Now, yes, if you're not born again, you are a sinner. Okay? But once you get born again, you really get born again. You don't get new and improved. You get born again, a different species. You see, that's a new thought. You go down to your local church and say that. I dare you. Go ahead and try that one on. See, all of these are shaking a system right now that has kept us in slavery. Okay? Now, Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So when Jeremiah came to the earth realm, he was already sanctified and ordained to be a prophet to the nations, right? He came with the scroll in him, okay? And it was wrapped in his spirit. Now, you came, too, with that same, with a scroll, okay? Okay, the problem, we come with two, okay? One is from heaven, and one is your earth suit that has all of your generational DNA in it. Okay? So you have two scrolls that you're going to live out. or a mixture of the two. Okay? Now, how do we untangle from that? Zach, you want to pass these out for me? How do we untangle from that? Okay? One of the primary ways is through taking communion. Okay? And so if you want, we're going to do that because I believe in practicing. Because sometimes you hear stuff and you don't have a clue what to do after you leave. Okay? So we're going to practice. Because in our cells and in our memories is everything that has happened in our generations all the way back to Adam. All of that is stored in this earth suit. Okay, we're going back to our original design in the likeness of the first Adam before the fall. Okay, now I'll be honest, I've been in church for, oh my goodness, I think I got saved in the late 80s. That's a long time. And I don't think we ever talked about Adam outside of being fallen. Like there wasn't an Adam before the fall, hardly. Do y'all remember those messages? How many of you heard a message about Adam before he fell? Okay, so what were you programmed to think? You only went back to the fallen condition. That's your point of origin. That's what you've been programmed. Okay? Now that one goes really, really deep. Okay? That's in all of your cells. Okay? So we're going to take a communion prayer dealing with the DNA of God. Okay? Now, communion is a very mystical yet practical thing that we get to partake of. Me personally, I do not believe that it turns into the actual body and blood of Yeshua. Okay? I don't believe that. I believe that when Christ came in his body, he carried the record of his Father. And he carried the record in his being. And when we partake of communion, we enter into what he's already done for us. Okay? Now, if you believe differently, we're powerful creatures. We get to do that. Okay? So y'all ready? Okay, so this is this prayer of communion is focused on the DNA of God. There are other prayers of communion that will have a different emphasis, okay? This is not the only thing this does, okay? If you're bound into sin and you're in an addictive behavior, you need to use the body and the blood to break you free of that addiction, okay? Good way to do it is to get the DNA of God activated in you, okay? That helps with addiction quick. Okay, so y'all ready? Say the prayer after me. All right, I'm going to start. Y'all ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for life, eternal and immortal life in Christ. Yeshua, thank you for your body and blood, which carries within it the record of the DNA of God. By faith in what you have done for me, I receive these symbols into my being, into my spirit, soul, and body as the record of the DNA of God. I receive your life into my being, and I ask that my being continue to be transfigured, my destiny scroll would be awakened and charged by your life in me. I thank you that I receive your body and your blood into my being, that my being is restored to its original design Yes, and amen, let it be. Okay, so you can take that. And when you take communion, don't do it, quote, so ritualistic. Meditate on what you're actually doing, okay? You know, I engage my imagination gate. I receive, when I take it in, I receive as if the DNA of God is being loosed into my body. And I visualize that. Okay, I use my imagination and I engage in that reality. Okay, now our scrolls are unraveled as we complete the seasonal mandate we've been given. Okay, so it kind of unrolls. Have you seen a scroll, how it unrolls? And when that portion is fulfilled, it empowers you for the next season. So when you fulfill it, it gets rolled up and a new thing is open to you. Okay? And I encourage you to, before you go tearing into a new season of your life, make sure you have those papers with you. Okay? Now that can be by faith, but you just need to know you got them. Okay? It is all by grace. He is faithful to complete the work in us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay? So that takes all the pressure off. You just have to say yes and obey. Okay? All right, now, we're going to talk about going into maturity, and I'm going to go faster here. What time? How much time? All right, we're going to press through. We're building stamina, okay? And I'm going to go quick because I'll go back over it. I know I'll have to, but that's fine. Because we want to begin talking about things because we need them to manifest, okay? We are not alone in this journey, and we're not on our own, okay? That being not on our own makes a real shift and a big difference. Okay, Galatians 4:1-2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, remember that young child stage, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Okay? So in our developmental stage, we are placed under guardians and stewards and tutors. Okay, now Hebrews 1:1-4 talks about in times past that the fathers were spoken to by the prophets, but in the last days, we've been spoken to us by the Son. And so when Jesus began taking that place, a lot of things shifted at that point. Okay, and it reads down here, he has by inheritance and obtained a more excellent name than they, and that's the angels. Okay, do you know we outrank angels? Do you know that? You need to know that. They're here to serve you. You outrank them. Okay, Galatians 4:28-5-1, and I'm going to kind of hit just the points here. It says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Okay, we are children of promise. And then it goes on to say that for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Okay, now what does that mean? Okay, all right, I'm going to go quick. So put your listening device on fast. Okay, Abraham had two sons. One was born of a free woman, Sarah. One was born of, what was her name? Hagar, she was a slave. Okay? So he had two sons. One is called the son of a bondwoman, which was bound under what? The law. Okay? Now, the first, So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Okay? So if you're living under the law, okay, and I'm not talking about the law where you got to keep every little thing that the Pharisees had written. The law means you're trying to gain favor and position with God by doing good things. Okay? So if that's anywhere in your processing with God and relationship with Him, then you're under the law. And you will never have your inheritance that way. Okay? Now that's something that is deeply rooted and ingrained in us all the way back to Adam. Now if you have any Jewish blood in you, okay, that will be something you have to overcome, is coming out from the law. Okay? Romans 8, 29 through 30 basically says Yeshua was the firstborn among many brethren. Okay? Praise the Lord for that. Okay? 4, we read that one. Okay, now the tutors and the governors are those whom the Father has sent to train children to take responsibility, basically to grow us up. Okay? All right, now, tutors train us in what we need to know and understand. Okay? Governors train us in the ways of ruling and reigning. Okay? They have different functions in what they're doing. Now, each developmental stage, baby, young child, young man, all the way up, the tutors and the governors are available to us. Okay? They're available for us. Now, in the realm of the Spirit, our primary tutors and governors are the seven spirits of God. It is their responsibility to teach and instruct us and then present us in the court of kings as mature, mandated sons. Okay? That's the appointed time of the Father. Okay? Now, He does, however, send tutors and mentors in both the natural realm and the spiritual realm. Okay? There are tutors that you should be sitting with and under in the natural and in the spirit. Okay? Now, that's the seven spirits of God. I'm going to begin to kind of show pictures, and they're kind of a little bit of, I didn't spend any time on doing this. So I didn't create anything. But all it's designed to do is to give you a marker in your brain so that when these things get around you, there's something for them to attach to so you can begin to see and engage them. Okay, it's how the brain works. Okay, now, the seven spirits are mentioned in, I'll get to that in Revelation. Now, John, when he greets the seven churches in Revelation 1, 4 through 5, this is what he says. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And, okay, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Okay? So he sends a greeting from them. Okay? Now, because he sends a greeting, that means there is a relational connection to them. Because he's basically saying, these seven spirits from the throne are greeting you. Okay? Now, the seven spirits of God is mentioned 4 times in Revelation, yet we see them functioning throughout scriptures. Okay, this is a key and a hint for you. Always look for the function, not just a name. Okay? If you're going to look for it to say the spirit of revelation or the spirit of wisdom, then you may miss it The same as it doesn't always say the courtroom of heaven, but it's all throughout the scripture. You see it functioning. Okay? Now, the seven spirits of God, I do not believe they are the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I believe they're individual beings that minister before the throne unless they are sent out. They are not omnipresent. Okay? They're not omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. Yeshua, omnipresent. Holy Spirit, omnipresent. Okay? But their classroom is always open. Okay? Now, a lot of times we'll say, wow, I saw the Spirit of Wisdom. He was here. No, we went to the classroom. Chances are he's not going to come just here. Okay? So we just need to learn to translate correctly. Okay? Y'all get that? Okay? So if when we get to talk about the four living creatures, when one of those fellows pops up, it means we're there. Okay? That's what that means. So, and they when they come, it's a lot of fun. Okay? Revelation 4, 5. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning. Oh, my goodness, I love this stuff. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Revelation 5, 6, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, I loved them, the four living creatures. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Okay, it mentions horns and eyes. Okay? If you want to find out, search out in Scripture what is the function of horns and eyes. Okay? Because that's how you begin to engage them. Okay? You're going to have to invest some time to get to know these guys. Okay, there shall come forth a rod. What are rods used as? Okay, that's a clue right there. From the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who's he talking about? Talking about Jesus. Okay, Jesus is an example of us, right? Okay, so if it happened with Jesus, guess what? We can engage too. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge. I've heard it called revelation and the fear of the Lord. Okay? Now, this is what takes place when the Spirit, the seven spirits, rest upon us. Now, he's talking, I believe it's Yeshua, but I also believe there is a generation of sons that this is going to take place. And this is what it says about this generation. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness, whoa, something happened. Uh-oh. Hang on. I'm sure that was Connie technical error. Okay. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loin, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. That's a generation coming right there that's going to do that. That should be exciting. Okay. All right, now they're grouped in pairs, except the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, can you see the colors? Because there's a color attributed to them. Different people do have different colorings. I don't know why. My experience has been with what Ian has written. Okay. And this is stuff from Ian Clayton. I've I've been studying these guys for probably 15 or 20 years, but he's got the spotlight right now. Okay, different people have different colorings for them. Don't know why. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is red. Then you have the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of revelation and the fear of the Lord. Okay, now this, just meditate on this for a moment. I think we knew the guy that did this, didn't we? This is a picture of the throne room and several people who have been that close. Now, I've been in the throne room, except I was probably way over here. I was way back over there. Okay? So I was there, but I was way over there. Now, there are some that have been this close. And they say that this is probably the most authentic picture of what they've seen in the throne room. Okay, you've got the 12 elders here, the 24 elders, you've got the four living creatures, and then you've got the seven flames of God right there. And coming out of that are mathematical equations, sounds, frequencies, all that kind of stuff. Okay? The reason I'm showing you that is because I want you to have an imprint in your brain. Okay? So that when you go there, you can retain it and go, far out, it does look like that. Okay? Now, also around the throne are the four living creatures. Okay? Now, these are, I will probably shake, so don't worry. Okay? Because I've encountered them many, many times. And when I start talking about them, they tend to, I tend to kind of feel them, okay? And so if I get shaky, wobbly, this will be all right. All right, now around the throne are four living creatures. Now these creatures are four different creatures, and each one has a different face, okay? They have a lion face, an eagle face, an ox, and a man face, okay? Now, the beings in Ezekiel 1 are different. They are one creature with four faces, okay? And they have a specific function, okay? Now, we're going to talk about this stuff because we need to engage in that dimension for us to become who we are, okay? Okay, now the reality is we are engaging in that realm, regardless if we're conscious of it or not. I prefer to be conscious of it. Hopefully you do too, okay? Again, here's a somewhat of a cartoonish kind of thing, just to give you a something for your brain to sit on. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is in the middle. It's red. Wisdom is orange, understanding is yellow, counsel is green, might is blue, revelation is indigo, fear of the Lord is purple. Now, each one of those seven spirits function with one of those four faces. Revelation falls under the eagle, okay? Counsel, the man, wisdom, the eagle. The Spirit of the Lord is the lion, understanding is the man, might is the ox, and the lion is the fear of the Lord, according to Sir Ian Clayton. Okay? All right, now, that's the interaction of the seven spirits around the throne, okay? Okay? The four faces of God. The four manifestations of who he is. Okay, you have the east, facing east. Sean, where's east? Okay, that would be that way. So if we ever do the Yod, Vav, Ha, what is it? Yod, Vav, He, that's east. Okay, just so y'all know, that's east out there. Okay, well, that didn't help me because I can't see the ocean. Okay, now south is the priest, the ox. West is the prophet, the eagle. North is the man, the sent out one, apostle. Okay? Okay, now the four faces, these are heavenly functions. The king and the prophet have heavenly functions. The earth has the man and the priest. Okay? So you have a heavenly function and an earthly function. Okay? Now there are the four living creatures. You can hear them. They have a sound of, it's similar to the wheels. The wheels have this whoop, whoop sound. And when they flap their wings, they have a very similar sound to that. And it will vibrate you and undo you if you're not careful. Okay, these are the cherubim in Ezekiel with the four faces. Go back. Okay, that, I'm thinking of a tattoo. So these are just pictures to help you to have some frame of reference, and that's in Ezekiel 1. Okay. Now this is, if you read Ezekiel 1, those creatures in Ezekiel 1 who have the four faces, they basically, and if you read it, and you have to, I would encourage you to read it over and over and over and over, okay? But what those creatures are doing is there is a mobile throne that God goes about through the galaxies and the cosmos and on earth, and those creatures are what carries it, okay? And that's in the scripture. And it talks about the wheels within the wheels, and I've been inside those wheels, and I went down the timeline, and I wrote down what I got, and I was dropped, and I'm just telling y'all this because I want y'all to learn to just, that it's always not so hyper-spiritual, is I went down the timeline, and I got dropped out on the outside of one of the World Series. And my first question was, well, what am I doing here? Like, shouldn't I be somewhere, like, really cool? And I saw the end of the game, how it would be won, and the score. And I wrote it down, and it came to pass. And what he did for me, he was showing me, Connie, you're not crazy. Because sometimes this stuff will make you think you're crazy. Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm pretty grounded, and I'm pretty open to stuff. But you go in a wheel within a wheel, and you get dropped down a timeline, and you come back and you tell people, they go, we have a white padded cell for you too. And my whole fear the whole time I was traveling, Seven days I was doing this in the natural. And the whole time I'm doing this for 7 days, I'm contemplating in my mind, people are going to think I'm crazy. People are going to think I'm crazy. That was in 2010. Okay. All right, now this right here, if you read closely, it talks about something I want you to understand is when you read about something in the scripture, step back and find out what is their perception. Are they looking straight at it? Are they looking at it from the side? Because they'll describe it differently depending on what perspective they're looking at, okay? This is the same perspective, but you're looking up. Okay, and that's in Ezekiel. Now, we were in Connecticut at a conference for one. And we literally went back in time to the cross, and were looking up through the crystal glass and saw all of time go there, time of the cross, and then it went to this. And the musicians are singing it, not realizing that's what was happening. They're just prophetically singing this stuff out. Okay? That's looking up. That's the glass, sea of glass right there. Okay, the wheels. Okay? All right, so we're going to look real quick at the mandates. Spirit of the Lord mandates us for position. Okay? The Spirit of wisdom equips us for position. Spirit of understanding authorizes us for position. All of this is Ian Clayton. The Spirit of counsel prepares us for position. The Spirit of might reveals us for position. And we'll do a handout or something. Don't try to write all this down. And the Spirit of revelation or knowledge empowers us for position. And the Spirit of the Lord brings us into accountability for. So, now, accessing the seven spirits classroom is that we need to be willing, we need to willingly give ourselves to be tutored and mentored by them. Okay? It doesn't just happen by the luck of the draw. Okay? You have to present yourself to them for them to mentor you. Okay? And you really have to have an attitude, I don't know everything and I need help. Okay? So that's you've got to go in that way, because if you go up in there thinking you know something, they're going to send you right back out and let you learn. You don't know what you think you know, and then they'll let you in. Okay? You need to set aside time to go into the classroom with them. Okay? This is you investing in them. Okay? And you go by faith, you learn to listen, and then you honor what has been taught to you. Okay? So, we have a prayer. So if you want to engage with them, you can stand up. If you want to engage with the four living creatures, go look up every scripture on the four living creatures. You want to hang out with the cherubim in Ezekiel 1? Go read Ezekiel 1 until you can quote it. Because all of what that does is it makes a space for that in you. Okay, y'all ready? Okay, Heavenly Father, thank you that I am not alone in this journey. Thank you for providing me with everything I need to fulfill my destiny scroll. Thank you for the seven spirits of God that you have provided for me as my tutors and my mentors. I present myself to them and submit to them to be trained and equipped. I admit I do not know everything, and I need them and those you have placed in my life. I choose to learn from them and not through having to make mistakes. I choose to set aside time each day to go into the classroom and be taught. I will honor what has been given to me. Thank you for your grace that enables me. I am blessed. Thank you and amen. Okay, now I'm going to mention one thing, and then we're probably going to, is Paula here still? She had to go? Okay. For those that want to get prayed about your destiny scroll, we want to lay hands on you. You can get ignited usually through a prophetic word. We'll awaken some things in you. But what I want to share with you is you just prayed a prayer, right? And you committed to spending time with them, right? Okay? You did. Okay? You did. Yeah, well, I helped you. I helped you. Because what happens now is there's this thing called integrity. Do you know what integrity means? I am fully integrated within myself. And every time you say something that you have no intention of doing, your integrity breaks inside of you. You become broken and separated inside. We have to learn to let our yes be yes and our no's be no. This stuff is heavy in the spirit. Okay? Now, if you don't intend to do that, repent real fast and say, I did not know what I was doing. Forgive me. Okay? Because when we make those commitments, it is bore record in the heavens. Okay? And you don't want an open door. Because if you don't do that after committing to do it, a door is open. Okay? The spirit stuff is real. Okay? And it matters according to our integrity. Okay? See, down here we say stuff all the time. You know, every time you go, oh, I'll call you. I ain't calling him. Do you know your integrity breaks every time? And do you know what happens inside of you? You lose confidence in yourself. It's how it works in the spirit. So don't say something if you have no intention of doing it. It's better to be honest. Okay? And that doesn't mean you have to be ugly. It could be like, man, I just don't have time this week. I can't call you. That's all you got to do. Oh, I'll see you later. And you know you're not. Okay? Because this stuff has great weight in the realm of the spirit. Okay? If we want to function and go into the galaxies to terraform stuff and terraform the earth, that stuff cannot be in us. It just can't. We're not going to have the life of God coming out of us because we're going to be so broken. It's just going to kind of spill out with no kind of force. Okay? So, did you hear what I said? Okay? Because we've got to learn. We've got to learn how to carry ourselves as kings. That's what we're growing into as kings. So, we start where we're at. We let our words be yes and amen, or no and can't go. Okay? Okay, so, you got some. So, we're going to, where's our prayer people? Okay, James, Meredith, Pat, Christy. Did I miss anybody? Okay. Okay, if you want them to lay hands on you,